Blog Talk Radio.
No Chaser. I'm Leah Leone, your host, and with me, not today, he's in absentia, my co-host Leonard Thomas. He's out there in Cali doing his thing, so we want to give a shout out to Leonard. Hey Leonard, we love you, and we hope you get back to the show next week. But this is Life, Love, No Chaser. We want to thank you for tuning in today. And of course, you can tune in live each and every Wednesday at 3 p.m., 12 noon Pacific Standard Time by logging on to blogtalkradio.com/Life, Love, No Chaser. Or you can ring up via phone at 347-637-3718. If you're listening on the phone and you want to get in on the conversation, simply press number 1 and you'll be in line to speak to us or our guests. You can also follow us on our page at Blog Talk. We encourage you to do that, or follow me on Twitter at LL Life Love, or on Facebook at Life Love No Chaser. No matter how you do it, just stay connected to us. We love you, and we hope that you love the show week to week. We were gone last week because we were on hiatus, having a great time, thinking about some new show ideas for you. And if you want to reach out and help us to think of some show ideas, just email me at leah.leone@yahoo.com. So today, our guest, I'm so excited. He is fresh off a plane, jet lag, Abolaji Akinbo. Do you love that name? I love that name. Nonetheless, he's the founding pastor of God's Family Bible Church, which is located in Palm Coast, Florida. This guy is busy, guys. I spoke to him, and I'm telling you, he is on. He wrote 3 different books simultaneously. He's sort of like me, kind of just busy, busy, busy. We're going to join him right now. Pastor Bo, as he's affectionately called, are you there on the line?
Yes, Leah, I'm here on the line. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us. I know you're tired and you're just coming in from Nigeria. I want to give a shout out to all of my Nigerian followers that listen to the show. Welcome to Life, Love, No Chaser. I was mentioning that you wrote 3 books simultaneously, Created to Manifest. I love that title. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. Prayer, Power, and Results. We have to get into that before I let you go. And also the topic of our show today, which is Parents, Loose Your Children from Bondage. So you've been busy.
Yes, I have. Thank God. God is faithful. I'm very, very busy.
That's great. So tell us, before we even get into the topic of our show, which is parenting and giving parents some new ideas and some new thoughts to raise their children, especially in 2015, tell me a little bit about yourself, how you even got started, you know, how this came about that you were going to be an author and writer, and tell us about your journey.
Well, I'm originally from Nigeria. I've been in the United States now for about 17 years, going about 18 years now. But while I was in Nigeria, I was a pastor. I was not a senior pastor. I was an associate pastor in a massive, massive church. And my first book was actually written in Nigeria. If you notice the name of this book, Parents Lose Your Children from Bondage, it says Enhanced Edition. The first edition was written over 20 years ago in Nigeria. Mm. And this is an enhanced edition of that. This is, even though it's a small book, it's much bigger than the first one. And so I wrote my first book over there. I worked with several people there. One of the things I did was to, we had a ministry called Ministry to Rebellious Children.
Mm.
It's a strange kind of negative connotation to it, but the ministry is exactly to children having problems, children in all kind of situations, financial, academical, spiritual, legal. And what we do over there was to work with them, and we mentor them, we visit with them, we pray with them, we teach them, we lead them, we walk them back to where they're supposed to be. So that was my first idea. That was where my first idea about writing the book came from. And I wrote a book that we eventually at that time used as a manual to minister and to reach out to these young children and their parents and everything like that. So this particular book, this is a second version of it, and it's a much expanded version of it. I used to say the first one is the African version. This is the world international version. So.
So I'm excited that you brought that up. So before we even get into the book really deeply, because I had a chance to read it, I want you to tell everybody before we get out of here where they can find it, how they can find you. Is there a difference, you think, from raising children in today's society from an African perspective and an American worldview perspective?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, give me some, top five differences. Give me some differences.
Well, first of all, you have to look at difference in families. In Africa, men are completely dominant in families. If you are talking about raising children, you are likely talking about raising children in family. Even in a single parent home, you are still talking about family. So in Africa, men are completely dominant. In the United States, well, men are some dominant, but it's nothing close to what you have in Africa. I mean, in the United States.
Okay, wait, Pastor Bo, wait. Because I can already hear my American men going, what? We're not dominant? Okay, what do you mean by in Africa, the men in the family are dominant? Give us break it down to us. What does that mean?
Okay, let me give you a good example. In the United States, if you're having a problem with your wife called the police on you and they kick you out of the house. Right? The usual
and what
thing
happens
for the
in Africa?
The usual thing here is for the woman to say, get out of the house. You own the house, you are married, you are family, you bought the house together. The woman will kick you out of the house, and you better leave, or else you end up in jail.
Uh-huh.
In Africa, it's exactly opposite. The man kicks the woman out of the house.
What?
You know, the man, yes, the man kicks the woman out of the house. Is the woman that is stranded, is the woman that has no place to stay. And for many years while I was there, it was a stigma if you are kicked out of your house by your husband, even if the man is wrong, was wrong, and most of the time, the man was wrong. So for instance, one of the biggest things I dealt with was when I was growing up, they constantly tell my mom, I grew up from a single family home, right? They constantly tell my mom that a woman cannot raise a boy. And even my own mother's family encouraged my mom to go back to my father, even though my father was very abusive. Because at that time, it was a taboo for a woman to leave her husband. It's a shame to the family. So right there, that single factor right there changes the dynamic of family and how you raise your children in Africa and how you raise your children here. While I was in school in Nigeria, the teacher comes to cane with wooden cane and spanking pad to whoop the child. The school pay for it. In fact, there are some school, I mean, I know it's probably different now because that was 17, 18, where that was maybe 25 years ago because, I mean, I was grown up before I left Africa. I was 26 when I left, or 26. So in those days, they were actually, you know, here in the United States, back to school, they would give you the list of what to bring to school. The children has to bring the notepad and the pen and the pencil.
Mm-hmm.
Part of what we have on our list to bring to school is your spanking pad.
I love it.
Yes.
I love it. And, we already know that would never fly. You would not have a list of, like, glue. I just sent my kids to school. They returned to school first time. They had, like, glue, backpack, folders, pencil box. There was nothing about a spanking pad.
Actually, we have no spanking pad. In Africa, it's literally a chisel wooden cane. It's wood, and it's painful. I mean, your parent will go to school and tell your teacher to whoop you for her or for him. So,
Let me ask you a question about that. Do you agree with that philosophy? Having written this book, Parents Lose Your Children, do you believe that's a good philosophy, or is that notion, it takes a village, not really a good idea? How did you think growing up in that, because you grew up in that and you were very accustomed to it, it was the norm, and your mother was a single parent, how did you find that to be effective or no?
You mean that it takes a village to raise a child?
Yeah, to allow the teacher to use the whipping cane. Mm-hmm.
Well, to be honest with you, when I was in Africa, I didn't like it because I'm the one being whooped. You know? It wasn't something I enjoyed. And the Bible talks about rod of correction scares away insanity in the heart of a child. And the Bible talks about spare the rod and spoil the child. So the way you interpret that in a modern day world is discipline, not necessarily physical whooping.
Mm-hmm.
So the way you interpret that in our present day is to discipline your child, correct your child. The Bible says a child left to himself brings shame to his father and to his mother. So what the Bible is saying in our present day connotation is make sure you train your child, make sure you discipline your child, make sure you correct your child. It does not necessarily mean physical whooping.
Mm-hmm.
So my generation, the culture I came from, that was acceptable. That was understandable. That was not considered abuse at all. That was considered discipline. But I understand that this culture is totally different. And when you are based on the culture where you are, you want to use what is relevant. Because if physically whipping your child is abusive here and affect them mentally and psychologically, then you don't want to go that route.
Yeah.
You find what is effective in this environment that will give the child the instruction you need to give the child. You don't want the child to feel abused or bastardized or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it has to be relevant to the culture. It has to be relevant to the environment. It has to be relevant to the day and age in which we live.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that answers your question.
No, it does. So I have another question, of course. I have tons of questions for you, and I'm so excited that you're here. Tell me, so you come from Nigeria, this dominant society, the woman is usually asked to leave, you're in a single family home, your mother's like, listen, parent, I'm out of here, I'm not going to suffer this abuse, you become an associate pastor, why do you write this book? Why do you have a voice on this topic?
Yeah, because I went through it. I knew what it is to be raised by a single parent. I knew what it is to be raised. I mean, I remember people calling my mom a whore, a prostitute, just for simply leaving my dad. I remember that. I remember it like yesterday. I had a radio interview just yesterday, and the guy was asking me the same question. Jason, I spoke to another radio host yesterday, and he was asking me the same question. I remember people calling my mom a whore, a prostitute, the B word, just because she's single, right?
Mm.
I remember the shame, the stigma, the embarrassment my mom faced from outsiders, from my own family for being unmarried, for leaving my father. Even though my father, we physically smash my mom against the wall, my father, we lift my mom up and smash her on the ground and beat her up black and blue. I saw that, and I was only 5 when they separated, and I still remember that. While I was 5, while my mom was being abused by my dad. And that doesn't make any difference. People still felt my mom should have stayed. My mom was the exception who refused to stay and be abused like that for the rest of her life. So
thank God.
I felt I need to write this book because I knew the pain we went through. I knew what it takes. I knew that my mom struggled intensely. I mean, there are things my mom did that I completely disagree with the way she raised me, because my mom will always say, they told me I cannot raise you. The boys, I will raise you, because we, at that time we had two boys and a girl. I'm the first born. I have a girl and two siblings at that time, a girl and a boy. And mom would say that they said I can't raise boys, but I'm going to prove everybody wrong. So I was guinea pig. You know, I was the one she took out all her training technique on and all her anger on and to prove a point. And my mom would tell me, she says, if I can raise you, I will raise you, and you are going to raise your siblings. So there are things my mom did, and that's exactly what happened. I raised my sibling. I sent them to school. I was able to help in so many ways. I became an adult very quickly. I never went to adolescence or teenager age. I never went through none of that. By the time I was 10, 12, I was already trying to earn money to take care of my brother and sister, helping my mom to survive. So I wrote the book because I knew all that. I knew what it takes to raise children. Now I have three kids of my own. I have two boys and a girl. And I know the pain. The first time I wrote the book, I wrote it from the side of a pastor and someone that have gone through it. I now wrote this from the other side of someone that have gone through it and someone that is now raising other children of his own. So I see the pain, I see the frustration, I see the kids behaving in certain ways, and the parents are just helpless. They just don't know what to do. One of the things I talked about is classification of children. The Bible actually tells us different grouping, different classification, different types of children. And based on their types, determines their response and their reaction to things in life. What strengthens a child will weaken another child. If you don't understand the classification of your child. So God showed me all this. I read all this in the Bible. God opened my eyes to so many things. So I felt one of the best ways to pass this out is through a book, because, you know, when you have a book doesn't need traveling document. A book doesn't need ticket to travel to any part of the world. A book,
that's true.
A book can go the places where I can never go. Years after I'm gone, somebody will still be reading this book and will still be changing their life and influencing their family and how they raise their children. So, I mean, I spoke a lot about experiences, types of children, how to raise them, what are the things you need to avoid, just different things that will really make a difference in the life of parents and children. Another thing I also want to mention is that the foundation of the parent makes a big difference in the life of the child.
You talk a lot about that in your book.
Yeah, we always declare what we want, but we produce after ourselves. We produce after after you declare what you want, but you produce after your own kind. So the parent, many parents are frustrated with their children because of what the children are doing, which the parent transferred to the children without knowing. The place to start is to look deep into yourself as a parent, and that's where to figure things out before you can go ahead and start raising your children the right way.
No, I love that. And one of the things I want, so let's just stop right now. This book is great. I read it this afternoon. I'm a quick read. And it's called Parents, Loose Your Children from Bondage. And one of the things you say in the book, and I'm quoting you, if a builder decided to put a 10-story building on a 2-story foundation, you're going to have a problem. And a lot of times I think that people, oftentimes the people I come upon, don't understand how critical it is, your psychology and your pathology. Where did life begin for you? How were you raised? Because it's critical to how your outlook is and how you raise your children. And I hear a lot of parents always say, well, my mother did it to us, my father did it to us, it didn't hurt us. Well, did it or didn't it? You know, we can't continue to do the one size fits all, and we can't omit the individuality of each child that we come across. Every child is not the same. So I love what you're talking about. Talk to me a little bit about your thoughts about foundation.
Yeah, the Bible says if the foundation is destroyed, what shall the righteous do? It's a question. Normally, the Bible is the book that always answers questions. So when the book that answers questions begins to ask you questions, you know that it's serious. So, like I said, if you put a $10 foundation on the ground and you build a $1 million building on it, it might look beautiful, it might look gorgeous, it might be marble-laced, and the furniture might be expensive, but that building is coming down.
Mm-hmm.
That building is coming down. So the beginning of a thing makes a big difference about that thing. And your present trauma came from your past drama.
I like that.
You know?
Yeah.
So you have to look at the foundation of that child, how that child was given birth to, how that child was raised. The Bible says in Psalm 11, verse 3, it says, if the foundation is destroyed, what shall the righteous do?
Mm-hmm.
So when a child, let me give you a good example. You have, in Africa, for instance, you talk about children that before a child is born, the parent already dedicated that child to a particular god or goddess, an idol, and they will tell you, okay, you want a child, we're going to give you the child, but this is what you have to do once the child is born.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you do that, when you make those covenants, those agreements, when you come to those contracts with those conditions, that child is not going to be normal, because the child is given to you based on certain condition, and if you go and break that condition, you are in trouble. It's like breaking a contract. I know you're a lawyer, and you know the power of contract. Once you put your signature in that document and you sign that paper, it becomes legally binding.
Mm-hmm.
So it is in the spiritual realm. If a child is given birth to in a family that abuse is a common thing, you know, the father is abusive, the mother has been abused, or the mother is abusive, you know, the child grows up thinking that he's nobody, thinking that he's the B word, he's the S word, he's this and that and that. That affects the child's psychology.
Mm-hmm.
If a child grew up in a place where there is love, there is a unity, and people pray together and they support each other, they correct each other in love, it affects the child. If a child grows up in a family where everything is negative, you are a product of your environment. You are a product of your parentage. You are a product of your surrounding. It's not supposed to be so, but it is.
That's
so
true.
The foundation of a child makes a difference in the child. And let me tell you the interesting thing about foundation. Foundational problems do not just go away. Time does not heal a foundational problem. To be honest with you, time makes it worse.
Yeah,
because
that's true.
Time makes it more entrenched.
Mm-hmm. Especially time without reflection. And you know, you make an interesting point, and I often say this to people, because I feel like sometimes, so I'll sometimes have conversations with single women, okay, who are raising children. And they're so okay to deny the child time with the father. And they will often say, well, you know, I didn't grow up with my dad and I'm fine. Well, the fact that you didn't grow up with your father makes me understand why you don't think it's important to give that to this child. So you don't understand that. It's not relative in your mind. You don't know what you missed. Though you do in your psychology, but you're not attached to the missed opportunity of not being around a father, or not knowing what it means to share your life with your father or to have that love. And so, of course, you haphazardly say to your baby's father or your child's father, well, you don't need to see them today, you know, denying them that pleasure because you're angry with them. And so I want to ask you a question. Because I get that a lot, and I'm always like, listen, just because you didn't and you may think you're okay, don't deny the child the time, because it's crucial in that way. So let me ask you this, because you said your mom was a single parent. Thank God she survived, left, was independent, totally went against the grain, got out of that abusive situation, but how did you, growing up with that foundation, break free?
Well, one of the first things I'm going to say to respond to that is that I missed my father when I was growing up. I still miss my father to today. My father died about 4 years ago. We finally reconciled towards the end of his life. But I tell you, I used to, up to 10, 20, 15 years ago, 10 years ago, I used to cry for no reason. There are questions I wanted to ask my father, and he was not there to answer them. There were decisions I wanted to make, decisions I would like to make, and I wish I could just give him a call or meet with him and ask him, what should I do? And I had no access to him. We had no relationship for years. So if you look at the Bible, even Jesus had an earthly father. His name was Joseph, the carpenter, right? If there is somebody that came to the world that would not need an earthly father, it's God himself. When he came to the world as human, he had an earthly father. Joseph taught him how to walk, taught him how to be a man. The Bible didn't tell us much about Joseph, but we knew that one of the greatest challenges Jesus had was that when he was growing up, they were saying that, is this not Jesus, the son of Mary, the son of Joseph, the carpenter? So he was identified with his earthly father. There is something the father brings to the child that the mother that cannot bring. And there's something the mother brings to the child that the father cannot bring. It is always an ideal situation to have the father and the mother both in the life of the child, if you can allow it. So I wouldn't wish that on anybody. Yeah, I went through so much. I was the firstborn, and my mom was very tough. My mom did stuff that you don't want to me to mention on the air.
Right.
Just to prove his point to everybody. Yes, and to survive so that I will become a man. And I eventually did. But for me, it is simply the hand of God that just kept me. Because I had so much opportunity to get into drugs and get into drinking and partying. I've never been to a nightclub in my life up till now. I've never been a drinker. I've never been a smoker. I've never done drugs. I had it all around me. I could have used my situation as a good excuse to go that direction. But for some strange reason, I just didn't want to. I just didn't have the inclination to do that. And I think part of it was that I'm also scared of my mom. I think she would kill me. My mom would tell you, my mom told me several times, I will kill you. She actually told me that more than I can count. You embarrass me, I will. Before anybody talk about you, I will kill you first. So somewhere at the back of my mind, I didn't want to die. So I stayed away from a lot of stuff that most of my friends did, some of my friends did. So for me, I would say God, I would say my mom was very, very protective of us, would not allow us to go anywhere. I had just a handful of friends, and she knows all my friends, she knows everything I do. She was, to be honest with you, overprotective for my own good. So God helped me, my mom helped me, and there's just something in me that I was never pulled towards doing some of those things that I should have done based on my foundation, based on my history. So,
well, you know what?
For me,
you said a lot. So, Pastor Brock, I got to take you way back a little bit because you said a lot. And I want to just put a pin right here to our listeners. I know you're out there. Learn this point, as you just heard it, that there are things, that's why we're different. There's women and there's men. And there are things that we bring in balance that the other cannot bring. Now, I know there are a lot of single parents out here or who are listening to this show, and be it you're a single father or you're a single mother, but the balance of things, the way the earth is intended, the way God has deemed it, is to have this alternate. And I'm not coming for same-sex marriages. I'm not doing any of that. Because even in a same-sex marriage, if you're two guys together, I always say you still need a woman somewhere, honey. You better find a good girlfriend, a good Judy, to be in your kids' lives. Because there's something that you need. A woman can teach a woman and a man can teach a man. Now, can you do both? Sure. But I love that you just said that even as an adult, you longed for your father. And I want women to hear that, especially because of all the foolishness of, you know, you're mad at him because he's foolish. He may not be a man because he never saw a man, but he still has to spend time with those children and learn because they need his DNA. I mean, they just do. And, I mean, I will be honest, and I'm always transparent on the show, that I have a co-parent, and I'm not always happy with him. I'm not. That's the truth. But I would never deny him access to these children that I have because they need his essence. They need something from him, and it may not be the greatest thing to me, but it is the greatest thing for him, for them. So I just love that you said that. And I love that you mentioned the grace of God's hand sort of guiding your life. And I also love your mother, though she was probably making mistakes, as you said, we're not going to utter on the air. But I love that you're saying that she did the best she could, and one of her things was for you to have reverence in the, her discipline and her presence and what she was trying to do for you, though she may not have gone and taken the best route. So with that, I want to ask you, you know, in your book, you talk about home setting. And so you talk about this family setup. Talk to me a little bit about that.
Yes. The way your family is set up greatly influence your children. There are children, for instance, in a family that are considered very special, while the other child is not. For instance, you have three kids. One is the firstborn is your dream child, is your favorite child because you're firstborn. Then your lastborn is your baby. What happened to the secondborn? What happened to the middle child?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then this child starts feeling, well, I'm not important. A girl spoke to me not too long ago. She eventually went into the military, and this is one of the most beautiful girls you ever find. Beautiful girl. She loves God. She's very respectful. She's very passionate. And when she came to me and she said she wanted to go into the military, I was surprised because she doesn't look like the military type.
Mm-hmm.
And she sat in my office weeping. She was the middle child. She is the middle child. And she has an older sister. She has a younger brother. And she said to me, she said, I am the eyesore of the house. I am nobody. She said, I need to get out of this. I said, Pastor, you don't understand. I need to go. I need to go and make something of my life so that I can mean something. I need to get out of this place. I mean, what I'm sharing with you, the mother doesn't know, the father doesn't know till today. I never told them.
Mm-hmm.
This girl sat in my office and cried and cried and cried. They don't like me. Whatever I say is not good enough. They have no respect for my words. I'm disparaged when I'm praying. They complain I'm praying too much. When I'm going to church, they say I go to church too much. When I give money to charity, they said I'm wasting my money. Everything I do is bad. I need to get out of this place. And even though this girl has been with us in the church, been with me for years, she's one of my favorite teenagers in the church. She grew up to be a beautiful young lady. I have to let her go because the thing she was sharing with me, I didn't know for a long time. And she finally confided with me what was going on in the house. The home setting was toxic for her.
Mm-hmm.
The home setting was destructive for her. She's gone to the military now. I have even lost contact with her because when she went out, she went wild. She went wild because she is now trying to explore. She's now trying to do things for herself. But they've not trained her on how to do those things. They've condemned her all through her years at home because she was the middle child. And so the home setting makes a difference in how these children grow up and what they decide to do in life.
Mm-hmm.
Is your house critic laden? Is your house always the yelling type and the screaming type and the profane laden type? Is somebody always punching each other in the house? Is somebody else? I mean, all those things makes a difference. I remember another young lady telling me that my mother, she said, I'm quoting and I said, my mother controls the house. We wake up in the morning every day not knowing what is going to happen. It's all based on mom's mood. She told me, she said, our mom, we grab a bottle and smash it on the TV or throw things around the house, break things for no reason. Nobody knows why. And then the next minute, she was going to turn to her and say, hey, let's go to Chuck E. Cheese's. She acted as if nothing ever happened. So if she wakes, if this lady wakes up in the morning excited, everybody's happy in the house. If this lady wakes up and angry, everybody's paranoid, everybody just stay in their corner and they are scared. Now this girl is married, and she's acting like a mom. She's turning to the thing she hated.
Yeah.
And I remember sitting down with her and telling her, "You remember everything you told me about your mom?" She said, "Yes." I said, "You are doing the exact same thing."
Yeah. Yeah.
You are doing the exact same thing. She's becoming exactly everything she hated about her mom. The home setting was toxic.
Yeah.
And she doesn't know anything. That's all she has. So that's all she's giving her husband now. So we have to rein her in. We have to talk to her. We have to pray with her. We have to start counseling the husband to know how to deal with her.
Yeah. The home setting, you know, a lot of kids today are out of control. Because the home setting is out of control. It's absolutely true. And I think in addition to that, we hear a lot of things on the news where parents are killing children. I just read, sadly, that this man didn't have a job and so he killed his two children. Children are killing parents. Discipline is out the window. A lot of parents I know that I read or have come across actually drink with their children, befriend their children, smoke drugs with their children. A lot of boundaries are laxed. And so what would you tell people based on writing this book and in your experience as to how to, let's say I'm already screwed up, okay? Let's say I'm out there, I've already broken all the rules. How do I fix it? Because I think people don't know how to fix it. They've gone so far overcompensating that they don't know how to reel it in. What would you say?
So is this counsel for the child or for the parents?
Both. You can do the parents first.
Well, first of all, the home is the manufacturer of the child's character. The child's character lifestyle is molded from the home. So it's very important for you to set your home in such a way that will give your child a chance in the world. Things have already been messed up and everything is upside down. Well, the first thing you have to do is to recognize that is the situation. Because if you understand where you are, if you accept your mistake, if you know that you are in trouble, well, your problem is half solved. The first thing is recognition of where you are. Because many parents don't even think they are in trouble or their children are in trouble. What you just described, parents smoking with their children, drinking with their children. Let me give you an example. I had a young man a few years back that was misbehaving so terribly, right? And we never understood why, because when he's with us, he's very kind and very friendly and very respectful. But he constantly gets in trouble with the law and he's constantly getting arrested, a teenager. Then one day the father came to talk to me. Are you listening to me?
Mm-hmm.
The father came to talk to me and said this. He said, "Let me talk to you about my son." I said, "Go ahead." He was divorced from this boy's mom,
mm-hmm.
and the court awarded the custody of this boy to the mother, which is okay. There's nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
However, the mother is so messed up. She's into drugs. She's into all kind of nonsense. This lady will have sexual intimacy in front of the boy with different men.
Mm-hmm.
This boy will see his mom stark naked, making love with so many men at different times, as a young child, as early as 10 years old. And the mother will do drugs and do all that stuff in front of this boy, and will tell the boy, "Hey, listen, you go and get yourself a girl and do the same thing." By the time this boy turned 14, 15, he has no regard for anybody except when he's in the church. He had no regard for women. He's abusive. He's aggressive. He's negative. He got in trouble over and over and over again. We've actually lost contact with this young man after many years. The foundation of this boy and his home setting define his future before he even gets there. Because 5-6 years from now, you are going to get somewhere. The question is where? So,
yeah.
First of all, the parent have to recognize, and all the young child or the young girl, the young man has to recognize that there is a problem. They have problem. Because it is when you first recognize you have a problem, you can start seeking for help to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
So if they once they get that, they understand that there is a problem, something needs to be fixed, then they personally, I think, they need to go to God. Because God can rewind to the past and fast forward to the future. He knows the end before the beginning. If you know you've made a mistake the way you raised your child or your children, you didn't give them the right foundation, you didn't give them the right training, you didn't give them the right home setting, their psychology is messed up, the first thing you have to do is to recognize that is the case. The second thing is to go to God and ask for help. And ask God to begin to work on your foundation and ask God to begin to touch the heart of your children and ask God to begin to give you wisdom on how to correct things, because some things can still be corrected. The third thing as a parent is to approach those children and begin to talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, son, I am sorry. There's nothing wrong with parents apologizing to their children. I apologize to my children all the time. Young man, I made a mistake. I'm sorry. I messed up. Forgive me. I'll fix it.
Mm-hmm.
Is to let those children know, like, all the stuff I've shown you for all these years, smoking with you, drinking with you, doing drugs with you, having sex in front of you, sending you to go and get me condom, doing drugs with you, they were wrong. I made a mistake. I was wrong. And I don't want it to end up the way I ended up, so that you don't repeat my mistake. Go and approach those children and now begin to tell them what to do as you seek for help. Now, there is nothing wrong with going for counseling. There's nothing wrong approaching a man of God, a pastor, to show you, to help you in this area. There are books that you can read that will begin to redirect you to the right path. But you have to take those steps. Now, if you're a child or if you're a young man that you know your foundation is wrong, it's the same process. I have made a mistake. Something is wrong with me. I'm in trouble. God, forgive me. Lord, show me what to do. What do I need to do? There are so many resources out there that will help you. I mean, the book we are talking about now, I mean, there is no book like this in the market because the stuff I wrote here, I've asked so many people, and everybody that I've read it told me the same thing. They've never seen anything like this before. I mean, for instance, we're talking about foundational problem, right? A child that is born out of rape will have a foundational problem. It is not the child's fault.
Mm-hmm.
It is not the mother's fault. It was an unfortunate situation, but the foundation of that child is already damaged.
Mm-hmm.
A child that when he was in his pregnancy was refused by the father, that it was controversial pregnancy, or a child that the mother do not know who the true father is. And so today you are John's son, next week you are Andrew's son, or the other day you are Jackson's son. That child is in trouble. Those are foundational problems that need to be addressed. Because many times, we lock these children up, we throw them in jail, we send them to psychologists, which is unfortunate because these are problems that is above their pay grade.
Yeah.
Those kind of problems need to be taken back to God.
Yeah.
In prayers, in the Word of God, in spiritual counseling. The reason why many of those other methods doesn't work because stethoscope cannot detect demons. Medication cannot fix spiritual issue or foundational issue. Therapy, spiritual therapy is needed. Psychological therapy will help, but sometimes it's deeper than that.
Yeah, I agree. I like what you're saying, and I always like to give my guests some pointers. So let me just recap what you just said. Number one, if you find yourself in this situation right now, it's never too late. And that's what I always like to say to people. It's never too late. I don't care if you've done something the same way for 25 years. That 26th year can bring about major change. It's a mindset. It's a lifestyle. It's a flip. You know, you don't have to think, well, I've done it for so long, I just need to keep mustering and toiling in that pain. Things can always be changed because we serve a God who's a sudden God of miracle also. So I always feel like, listen, it's never too late. The second So recognizing the issue, that's the first thing. You know what? A, I was a parent and I didn't do the right thing by my children. I need to turn this around. B, this isn't right. I'm a I'm a child and I'm not living right and I don't want to repeat the history of my life. So recognizing the issue. Second, rewind. I love that you're saying, you know, God knows the end before anything. The beginning, right. So knowing the end, you don't have to be a fortune teller or a psychic or a seer to know that if you start off with bad, unless you make changes, you're going to end with the same product and result of bad. I mean, it's simple math, okay? You're not going to have some bountiful treasure at the end of a life that began and continues to dwell in negativity and dysfunction. You have to stop and take a stand, take your life back, and go and get somebody to tell you how to do that. I mean, if you're listening out there, you're smoking, you're drinking with your parents, listen, your parents should be your friend. That's true in some ways, right? You should be able to, what is a friend? Confide in them, talk to them, trust them. That's a good friend. But your parents should not be engaging in drinking and smoking and sexual activity and so forth. There's boundaries. If they've crossed it, it is what it is. Let's not be judgmental. But from today forward, let's rewind and start anew. And the third, I love what you're saying, and I just did it yesterday. You said apologize to your children. So yesterday, my children were on my last nerve. They were jumping all over that thing. And I was like, listen, okay, you're out of school today. Mommy's fried. I have a lot going on with work. I don't have the energy or fortitude to be present. I need you to, you know, just forgive me. Because I got a little upset. I usually don't yell at them. And I got a little upset and I raised my tone above the normal tone. And my children, knowing that, understood redemption. See, I think we forget about the quality of an apology, which is sincerity based, because it brings about in the consciousness of humans empathy and understanding. So when I apologize to you, Pastor Bo, if I offend you, and I let you say, you know, hear me say, listen, I'm crazy. I don't know what happened to me yesterday. I apologize. That allows you to kind of take that steam and that hurt away and show me empathy because you understand or maybe relate. And I don't think as parents, but a lot of parents are indignant. They feel like, I don't have to apologize. I'm a grown person. I don't have to tell these children anything. Listen, parents, if you're out there, Pastor Bo just made an amazing point. Humble yourself to your child and say, listen, I flew off the handle yesterday. I apologize, baby. Mommy's just tense. Daddy's tense. I'm sorry. Because it also breeds that same conduct in your children. And it works wonders. After I apologized and told my kids I was having a moment, they hugged me. And they told me to take a deep breath. Which I just love. So those are the three points you just gave. And I have to ask you, because I want to shift gears just for a second. In your book, and again, this book, guys, go out and get it. Pastor Bo, let's just take a minute and tell everybody the name of the book, this latest version, and where they can find it.
Yeah, the name of the book is Parents Lose Your Children from Bondage, Enhanced Edition. Parents Lose Your Children from Bondage. Can be found on Amazon, Barnes & Nobles, or any bookstore. If you walk into a bookstore and give them the name Parents Lose Your Children from Bondage, and if they don't have it, they can always order it for you. My name is Abology Muyiwa Kimbo. You know, Abology as in apology with a B, Abology Muyiwa Kimbo. Akimbo as in standing Akimbo with an N, Akimbo. So, You can go on Amazon, you can go on Barnes & Noble, you can find it there. And you can find me on AkimboInternationalMinistries.com, AkimboInternationalMinistries.com. That's AKIMBO, InternationalMinistries.com. And we also have our church, GodsFamilyBibleChurch.com, GodsFamilyBibleChurch.com here in Palm Coast, Florida. So, you can reach me on through those means. I also have apologyakimbo.com, so you can reach me in so many ways. And
so many ways. You're just out there, just waiting. I want to take a quick question from the audience, so let's go live for a question.
Okay.
Life, love, no chaser, you're on the air.
Are you talking to me?
I am.
Hi, how are you?
We're good. How are
and
you?
How are you, speaker? I listen to you from time to time. I happened to come up on you today, and I got a little bit of it. I want to know, what do you do with a child that has two parents that are doing well by them, and there's no problem in the home, but this child just decides it just wants to be a rebel? How do you pull that child back out of the street?
That's a great question, caller, and I appreciate your question. And please just stay tuned and listen in for the answer. Pastor Bo, you've got two parents, they're doing well, they're loving, they're nurturing, they're present, they're spending time, the kid is just wowing out. What do you do?
Well, first of all, thank you for that question. That's a fantastic question, and I've had that question from so many people. First of all, you have to keep loving that child. The Bible says love covers all sins. Love covers the multitude of sin. So first of all, keep loving that child. Do not stop. Because love is stronger than hate. Love is stronger than anger. Love is stronger than frustration. Number two, pray. Those that fight the battles on their knees, they've won the victory in their spirit. If you pray, you will win. The Bible says you receive not because you ask not. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. The Bible says ask until your joy is full. So you love that child. You keep praying for that child. And another thing I also want to mention, when parents are frustrated, one of the things we do as parents is to start speaking things that we feel instead of speaking things that we want to see.
Mm-hmm.
God told a great man of God, he said, I told my people to speak what they want, what they want to have, but I told my people to speak what they want to have, but they are speaking what they have. You know, in the Bible, in the book of Genesis, the Bible says the earth was without form, was void, and darkness was upon the face of the earth. And then the Bible says something very interesting, and God says, let there be light. God could have said, man, it's so dark out there. He never said that. He saw darkness, he spoke light. The Bible says, let the weak say, I am strong. In other words, the Bible says in Numbers chapter 14, verse 28, whatsoever I hear you speak, that will I do unto you. You speak life to that child, you are going to be the head and not the tail. You are going to come out of this. You will be a child that will make us proud. We will see you and rejoice. Whatever is happening with you now, we trust God to change you. You speak to that child what you want to see, not what you are looking at. Because when you speak the negativity that you are experiencing, you reinforce it.
Mm-hmm.
When you speak life, you banish darkness. Now, it may not happen instantaneously. In fact, sometimes when you start speaking life, things get worse. That is by design. Because the enemy wants you to change your tone. That child, you keep loving that child, you keep taking that child to God in prayer, and you keep talking to that child and speaking life to that child. Don't say, oh, you're going to end up in jail the way you are going. You will end up in jail. You just establish jail time for your child by saying that. Because as you speak it, you create it. Your word creates your world. So there's a quick tendency to speak what you say because you are frustrated and you are angry. I mean, I've done all we have to do. We've loved you. What is wrong with you? You are an embarrassment to this family. No, no, no. Speak what you want to see in that child. Speak life. You are the parent. You have authority over your child. There is nobody that has more power over your child than you. Not the drug lord, not the pimp master, not the crazy friends, not the nightclub.
Amen.
The parents have spiritual authority over their child. The only problem is that we don't use it. Start speaking life to your child. Start prophesying good to your child. If people come and tell and say, look at your child, he's going to end up in jail, tell them, not my child, watch your mouth. My child is going to turn out good. You speak what you want to see. And if you stay with it, and you are consistent with it, you keep loving that child, You keep praying for that child. You keep speaking life to that child. You will be amazed as how God will turn the life of that child. The Bible says, train your children the way they should go. And when they are old, they will not depart from it. It may not happen at the same time you are speaking it, but I guarantee you, if you don't change, the child will change.
Let me just, first of all, I'm over here almost screaming hallelujah and stomping my feet. Because that last piece, let me just take it in spells. What you just said, and I want to make sure parents hear this, raising a child and rearing it up in the way that they shall go when they are older, they will not depart from it. Now that sounds like patience. See, because as parents, we want the behavior and the activity to stop and cease right now because it's bothering us right now. But we don't understand that. We don't have power over time. And I can say this for one of my brothers, okay? He gave my mom some hell as a youth. He started off fantastic, got with the wrong crowd, gave her hell. Today he's a minister, and he's taking classes. So he has never reverted from what she taught him to be loving of God and to be a good man, but it took him some time. And we don't know the journey of our children. But we must. Let me say another thing you said that is just beautiful and it's true. When we are in prayer on our knees, we win the victory in our spirit. So oftentimes it's not to change the present circumstance, but it is to change our spirit as to how we see the circumstance. Like, I think that is beautiful what you just said, because a lot of times maybe the prayer will just help you get through this battle with this child.
Exactly.
And third, this is true. And I cannot reiterate your point enough, Pastor Bo. It's beautiful, it's eloquent, and I need parents to hear it and reiterate it. When you speak something negative upon a child, and my mother used to always raise us, and she would never say that we were bad children, because if you say bad, I manifest to please you. Parents, remember that your children want to please you. So that which you speak upon them is the thing that they want to manifest, because that's what they hear you saying. And so I cringe when I hear a parent say, stop acting like a crybaby. No, what do you want him to do? What do you want her to do? Oh, you want them to stop crying and communicate. You want them to stop being annoying. So say that. I want you to use your words right now. Communicate to me what the problem is. You have words. You are smart. You are intelligent. Tell mommy what you want rather than saying, stop being a crybaby. Well, I'll just be a crybaby because that's what I hear you saying. I love that you just said that. I could just reach through this phone and just give you a big old hug, Pastor Bo. But in the sake of time, I just want you to tell everybody again where you are. You got to come back on. We're running out of time for today. I want to get more callers in, but you got to come back on because you have this other book called Prayer, Power, and Results and Create It to Manifest. On this show, if you don't know it, we talk a lot and we do a lot of shows on purpose. And so I want you to come back and talk about Create It to Manifest. I love that.
Absolutely.
But I want you to tell us again, if you're listening right now, we're talking to Pastor Bo Abology Akinbo, better known as Pastor Bo. He's from Nigeria. He is a prayer warrior, an author, a teacher. He's written these wonderful books. He's down in Florida. If you get a chance, shout your church name again so we can know where to find you on a Sunday.
God's Family Bible Church in Palm Coast, Florida. God's Family Bible Church, 57 Town Court, Palm Coast, Florida, 32164.
Okay, so
and
you're in Florida, Palm Coast. I love it. I don't even know where that is, but I love it.
Palm Coast is half an hour from Daytona. It's smack down in the middle between Daytona and St. Augustine. We are about an hour, 15 minutes from Orlando. So it's God's Family Bible Church, Palm Coast, Florida, 586-4019, 386-4019. And you can find us on the web, God's Family Bible Church, all one word, godsfamilybiblechurch.com.
Awesome.
We have our messages
and
there. We have our information there, godsfamilybiblechurch.com.
And he's there. He's joined by his side is his lovely wife. They have three children, as you heard. He's got this great book, Parents, Loose Your Children from Bondage. And in your mind, what is this bondage? Leave us with understanding. What is the bondage, and what are we loosing them from?
Everything that the children become that you don't intend your child to become is a bondage. Everything they manifest, they become that God do not intend them to become. Children, Bible says, are the heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is their reward. As the arrow is in the hand of the mighty, so are the children of thy youth. Bible says, confidence, both strong and those whose quiver is filled with them. Children are supposed to bring you joy, peace, happiness, fulfillment, not sorrow, frustration, and distress. If they are not giving you joy, love, happiness, fulfillment, whatever they are giving you, whatever they are in, is bondage. And this book teaches you, shows you, gives you prayer point, gives you direction, instruction on how to help your child out of that. But it starts with you first.
I love that. It does start with us first. And we ourselves, Pastor Bo, might need to break ourselves from previous bondage, as we've talked about today. If you're
Absolutely.
Out there and you're a parent and you're not receiving joy and you feel frustrated, perhaps you need to pick this book up. Not perhaps. I'm going to urge you to go. Again, I read it. It was a great read. He talks a lot, too, about, I love this point in your book, and I'm giving this as a sneak leak, about financial affordability of children,
yes.
Parents who are toiling in the struggle of affording children. You know, when I see shows like 19 and Counting, I'm thinking somewhere there's got to be a financial issue. So,
well, that's a reality show, and they are being paid to show us. So they are making a lot of money by showing you on TV. So just from the show, they are millionaires. So
they're generating
they are making money. They are merchandising
right,
the old
19
system.
And
so.
Counting.
So if anybody want to copy that, they better make sure they get all the sponsorship and the money they get for having that show. Because if you're having 19 children and you are doing a minimum wage job, you are in trouble. You have created bondage for your children. You have put them at a disadvantage from birth. put them at a disadvantage from birth. And that is, we don't have time now, but statistically, the way you raise your child, the educational foundation, the family setting, the financial know-how, all those things makes a difference in the future of that child. A child that is born, that goes to a great school at a very early age, good teacher, good amenities, good environment, is likely going to grow up to become a doctor, a lawyer, a president, a governor, than the one that comes from ghetto, who all he sees is everybody's having babies and doing drugs and getting drunk and on Section 8 or Section 9. Okay, so
yeah.
The foundation makes a difference, the home setting makes a difference, the surrounding makes a difference. If you can't afford to have 4 or 5 children, then start with 1 and 2 and build up to 3, 4. Don't just have kids because that's the thing to do. So all those things makes a difference in the future of that child. So
yeah.
It's important. All those things are very important, and parents need to be wiser and more intelligent in their decision as to how many children they want to have. And so on and so forth. So all this is, you know, you can get the book on Amazon. So they're all there.
No, it's a great read. It's a great guide. Listen, as parents, we always need a new perspective to the same old task. Parenting has been around forever. And even the parenting that we receive from our Father in Heaven, it's a struggle. It is what it is because it takes constant continuing education. And so anything that can help you, that's why we do the show. Get out there and get this book. Read the other books. Write Pastor Bo if you just have a query. I hope that he will be a frequent visitor of Life, Love, No Chaser. We have so enjoyed you today. You have filled my cup, and I know that you have filled the hearts of the listeners. I'm so grateful for your time today, and
Thank
I
you.
Appreciate it so much for being here. And we're going to sign off with Pastor Bo. I'm sure he's exhausted. Tell us about your trip before you go, though. One quick second. You were just in Nigeria. Tell us a quick tour. You were on tour?
Yes. I went to Nigeria. I went to Abuja, Nigeria. I preached in several churches there. I preached for Kingsley Ike. Kingsley Ike is a very well-known worship leader in Nigeria. I preached for Apostle Israel Abam in Guiding Light in Abuja. I preached for Bishop Olutayo. Good Tidings Church, huge church in Abuja. Then I left Abuja and went to Lagos. I preached for Dr. Onobanjo at the House of Praise. I preached for God's Appointed Place, Pastor God's Power. I preached for Guiding Light. It's a huge church in Ikoyi, Pastor Wale Adeforasin in Lagos. Then I left for Tanzania. I was at Gloryland Church with Bishop Olam. People from all over the country, all over the world were in that conference. And I was gone for 3 weeks. It was powerful. We shared the word of God. We prayed for people. There were testimonies. People got saved and miracles. And we introduced the book to them. And God has been good. God has been good. I just came back, so.
Well, welcome back home to your soil. And I just want to say, the reason I asked you about this tour for people to hear you, that none of the people that are probably listening, except for my Nigerian African crew, even know where any of these places are or can appreciate the heavy names you just mentioned. But I say them for the understanding from the listeners to know that Life, Love, No Chaser, we try to bring you the best quality guests. We're not selling you anything that's cheesy or cheap, honey. We're bringing you quality guests to enlighten your spirit, to set your world on fire, to change your pathology, to give you a new perspective so that you can tap into the abundant life you were meant to have. And so that is why Pastor Bo is here, and we thank you again in the studio, giving big shouts out to my co-host Leonard, who's not here today. And join us next Wednesday for another riveting show. We thank you so much, Pastor Bo, for your time, and you have a good rest there in Florida. And if we get
thank
down
you.
There, we're definitely going to shoot live from your beautiful church where I'm sure blessings are overflowing. And you have a good
thank
rest
you.
Of the day.
God bless you.
God bless you, too. I'll talk to you.
Bye.
So, again, this is Life, Love, No Chaser. You've listened to Pastor Bo. He's graced us with his presence today. Join us next week, same time, same place. If you have a show idea, hit us up on Life, Love, No Chaser on Facebook or Twitter, LL Life Love. You can reach us all the time at my email at leah.leone@yahoo.com if you want to leave a comment or an idea. We thank you so much for tuning in, and we'll talk to you same place, same time, 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 Pacific, next week. Bye.